About the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Obey the gospel, my friends, and go to heaven. Let me turn my camera on real fast. I want to speak to you today about a gag order that President Trump was ordered where he couldn't talk. I just clipped a video not 5 minutes ago about him right outside the courtroom, and I want to talk about it because I think it's instrumental. It's critical about how the law works and where we are as a country, and I believe where God is calling people back to. I'd like to begin with Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. As I said today, friends, I already want to speak about this gag order for President Trump, but this proverb is speaking about some really good wisdom. The good wisdom here is that it's a soft answer turns away wrath. Now, think about this. It's a soft answer, which means something has already happened, and the response to the thing that has happened is soft. Not hard, not sharp. Not powerful. A soft answer turns away wrath, turneth away wrath. So this means that the response to what's anger, so something has happened to you, something has happened, and the response to that is to be soft. But a grievous words stir up anger. So if your words are laced with grief and strife and anger, anger will beget anger. It's a compounding agent. My brain's weird. I think right now about what is that movie, Ghostbusters 2, where they've got the slime, and whenever they yell at it, it gets really big. It gets really disastrous. It gets, you know, it compounds. And whenever they talk quietly to it, it calms down. It doesn't do anything. Now, you guys might not have seen Ghostbusters 2, but anyway, that's the idea. The idea is that if you add to the discussion volume and anger and grief and strife, that's what you're going to get. That's what's going to happen. But if you give soft words, it turns away the wrath. Second verse here is the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. So that means that the tongue of the wise, people who seek wisdom, seek God's input, seek knowledge and understanding, they use knowledge, which means facts and ideas and stuff, the correct way. Now, verse 1 just tells you a soft answer turns away wrath. So that means whenever someone's attacking you, to use a soft answer. That's wisdom. Wisdom is to use a soft answer. But the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. Pours out foolishness like just a river, a fountain. It's going to pour out foolishness, which in this case is going to be more strife. I'd like to play this video for you regarding President Trump last night in Pennsylvania, but also then I have another video where he's just released it but 5 minutes ago at time of this recording and stream, where he is at the courtroom and he's speaking about how this is an assault on America. Before I do that, I'd like to direct your attention how you can support this ministry, bless my family, and keep the work that I do going. But you also get great American products. You guys probably spend money. You buy stuff. If you buy stuff that's in your home from Walmart, Costco, Kmart, whatever, why don't you just take the money that you're already spending and switch it over? Sign up at patriotswitch.com/Jaren. The link is in the description. When you sign up, it's a direct product purchase online. Goods are delivered right to your door, just like Amazon, just like Walmart, just like everything else. The exception is that whenever you spend money, when you shop, Jaren gets a benefit, and that's a blessing to me, which is how I power all the things that I do. That's a blessing. PatriotSwitch.com/Jaren. All right, let's watch this first video. This is Trump last night in Pennsylvania speaking about the gag order that he has been that has been placed on him. Let's watch this video, then we'll comment.
On Monday in New York City, I will be forced to sit fully gagged. I'm not allowed to talk. Can you believe it? They want to take away my constitutional right to talk. I have a crooked judge. This has never happened before, by the way. You do know that, right? Fully gagged before a highly conflicted and corrupt judge who suffers from TDS. Does anyone know what TDS is? Correct. Trump derangement syndrome. As the radical left Democrat Party seeks to do anything possible to keep me from running and winning in this election.
Now, I think there's a lot of truth to that, obviously. People hate Trump because he's politically effective. They hate Trump because he brought an awareness of corruption and just hypocrisy. Whether it's in the media, professional and career politicians who always speak with a glitz and a glam and a, I'm a conservative, or, you know, whatever. Jaren has repented of politics, and so I don't really care about the right or the left. I am a political conservative. I'm a social conservative, but I am a Christian. I am a Christian who reads the Bible and says the Bible is true and everybody else is a liar, including myself. So when the Bible says something, that's what I do, Lord willing. So now we look at what these people are doing to Trump, and they're attacking him. They're attacking his business. I mean, this case that he's not allowed to speak in, this gag order, this is the criminal prosecution against Trump for his alleged arrangement with Michael Cohen, his former attorney. The former attorney allegedly paid Stormy Daniels hush money because allegedly in 2006 or 5 or whatever, Stormy Daniels, a porn star, and Donald Trump had adult relations. So the result of that meeting between Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump, allegedly Donald Trump told Cohen to pay Stormy Daniels hush money. And Cohen is now, I guess, an indicted criminal. I guess he's a convicted criminal. He is now saying that Trump covered it up. And that's what the criminal prosecution is about. The criminal prosecution is about the fact that Trump covered it, covered the hush money payment up. And that's what he's being criminally prosecuted about. By the way, this is the first time a former president has ever been criminally prosecuted for anything. Nation's history. Very first time it's been happened. Which, the very first thing that I would say is that this, in my view, suggests a weaponization of criminal justice system beyond, or I should say, linking it into politics. Now, I could go off on a tangent right now, and that tangent would say that the law is the law, but Americans have been educated that the law is subject to politics. So instead of us looking at our constitutions as written in stone and being express trusts, Americans have been educated that the law is actually susceptible to what the people vote in. And I, you know, I said this last week when we were speaking about the abortion stuff out in Arizona. This would be the case that if there's a room with 10 people, I'm one and there's nine others. Is there ever a time when the nine people can vote my right to life away from me? No, that can't happen. Your rights are not subjected to the legislature. Your rights are not subjected to what the government does. Your rights are outside of government. The reason why this is important is because people think that our politics is actually what gets people in office, and when people are in office, they can then vote the government to tell people what the law is. But that's not what the Constitution say. The Constitutions secure your rights. They reserve your rights. You can't touch them. Nobody in government can touch your rights. And so here you have a criminal prosecution piggybacking on the tensions, the motivations, the power, the influence of the 2024 election, of which Donald J. Trump is the far and clear front runner, even more so than what's-his-face Biden. The competition doesn't exist. So you've got criminal prosecutions against Trump, who's going to blow Biden out of the water because people aren't that dumb yet. We're not so blind and so dumb as to think, oh, Biden, he's doing a really good job. No. He might have a massive fraud scheme of mail-in ballots and the such. By the way, that's stupid. Don't do that. Ballot harvesting, that's stupid. Don't do that. Maladministration of elections. But the issue is, you've got President Trump, who is a force of disturbance for this scheme. He disturbed the scheme in such a way that now the people in power are going, we got to get this guy. We got to smash him. And one of the ways I believe that they're smashing him is this unlawful, unjust, unprecedented criminal prosecution on this fake allegation. So now this is going on, and the judge says that President Trump can't speak about it. I just want to direct your attention real fast to the work that Laura Loomer has done. And Laura Loomer has done pretty good work here. This is a tweet she put out when she put this out, March 26th. So today's April 15th. So Laura Loomer did this weeks ago. Judge Merchan, and Judge Merchan is the judge overseeing this case. He's the one, Judge Merchan's daughter, he's the one who ordered Trump can't talk. So he has a daughter at Kamala Harris as a client at her company that focuses on campaigns and elections. So the judge who ordered the gag order on Trump has a daughter who's working with the vice president with the focus of campaigns and elections. Judge Merchan, this New York State Supreme Court judge who issued a gag order against President Trump today, has a daughter named Lauren Merchan. She is the president and partner of a company called Authentic Campaigns that boasts Kamala Harris as a client. They also have a Trump hater, Adam Schiff, as a client. An X account belonging to Lauren Merchan under the handle whatever shows her profile picture is President Trump behind bars in a jail cell. Now, this is where I want to point out that Lauren Merchan is absolutely within her right to say that President Trump should be behind bars. She's got that right. I'm not trying to take away from it. What Laura Loomer is doing, and I believe rightfully so, is making the connection between Lauren Merchan and her political beliefs with the financial involvement of the vice president and the purpose of campaigns and elections. And then Judge Merchan, the guy who's issuing the gag order, and his bias towards his own daughter. The FEC reports also reveal that Lauren Merchan is a frequent of ActBlue donor to Democrat activities or candidates, which again, she's free to do this. I don't see anything wrong there. This is just showing the fact that Lauren Merchan is politically ensconced as a Democrat, which is the political opponent of the Republicans. This is very obvious. This is absolutely a conflict of interest for Judge Merchan. Now, let's think about this. Why would this be an issue? This is an issue because judges are supposed to be impartial. Judges are not supposed to have partiality. If judges have partiality, you can't have justice. This strikes at the very core of what the justice system is that if you have an impartial judge, the judge is not independent. And if the judge is not independent, there is no such thing as justice. Goes on to talk about these pictures, right? So there's the campaign for what they do. This is Lauren Merchan talking about how, this is the campaigns and elections super PAC or whatever that is specifically pointing to Lauren Merchan. And this is from years ago, folks. Then you've got Lauren Merchan. There she is, right? Trump behind bars, right? And then there's all of her donations. Right, so Laura Loomer has done good work on this, but this is the article that I played the video from. This is from Reuters. Trump repeats attacks on ex-lawyer on eve of trial despite gag order. Now this right here, obviously it's Reuters. And at this point, thanks to President Trump, we're very aware of how biased the media is. So here you have Trump repeats attacks on ex-lawyer on eve of trial despite gag order, showing Trump in a This is positioning Trump as someone who is rebellious, someone who is lawless. And I want to speak to that real fast. I want to speak to that real fast because this is where, you know, and I'll direct people's attention to my teacher, Dave Jose on X. Dave cares for you, number four, letter U. The idea is that before the controversy happens, you want to send notice to whoever's involved. Before there's ever a controversy in the law, you want to make sure that you send notice prior to. This, of course, if you go back to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Part of the wisdom is why wait for the controversy to come to you? Why not you assert your rights in love and in peace to people that are involved to tell them what the truth is? Here's the truth. I'm swearing to it. Here's where it's written that I get to do this. Please show me where I'm wrong. If you do this before the controversy happens, you're not waiting for the controversy to come to you. You are declaring the truth. You're preaching the truth to that situation before the situation blows up. This means that the situation might not blow up because whenever you have the courage and the wisdom to take the truth to a situation before it becomes a situation, think about what you've done. If you're telling the truth, you're telling the people what the law is, you're swearing to it, and you're telling them before it's a controversy in the law, what you've done is you've said, these are my rights, this is what the law is, and here's where I stand. This is powerful, folks. It's powerful because what it does is it says, I'm not fighting you. All I'm doing is showing you what the law is. That's all I'm doing. All I'm doing is showing you what the law is. That's it. Before bad things happen, I'm not here to escape justice. I'm not here to go against your orders. I'm not here to do anything that is adversarial or hostile to the system. I'm the one who's telling you before the controversy happens what the law is and what my rights are, and I'm asking you to stand on that. I'm asking you to recognize that. Now, of course, most people don't do this. Most people are going to wait for the controversy to come to them. Most people wait. They don't think it's going to happen. Most people wait for the controversy to come to them. Now, let's keep reading this article. So if we go here, it says here, Donald Trump once again attacked his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, on Saturday, potentially testing the limits of a gag order. Now look at the press has to say potentially testing the limits of a gag order. They can't say testing the limits of a gag order because that's a definitive statement. They have to say potentially. This right here, this word right here, that is an adverb. That adverb equals wiggle room. Which again, they're fully within their ability to do it, but look at what they're doing. Potentially testing the limits of a gag order. Folks, this is why whenever we send notice and affidavit, we say what the facts are. We speak clearly. We leave no room for evasion. No room for wiggle room. We say what the truth is. This is part of the wisdom of Jesus, is that you let your yea, yea, and your nay, nay. Do not say words that are superfluous. Don't get all chatty. Just say what the law is that bars him from making public statements about witnesses concerning their testimony in the upcoming criminal trial in New York. Now think about this. President Trump is the defendant. His liberty is on trial, not the witnesses. The witnesses are not on trial. President Trump is on trial. So there's a controversy here. The controversy is that you have President Trump's liberty versus the impact or the weight of the witness. And so we have to really think about what this actually means. Now, there is a Supreme Court case. I'm not going to get too far into it, but it's called, Nebraska Press Association versus Stewart. It's coming out of 1976. Now, this has implications on free speech, but what ultimately comes down, and I just scrolled up so I lost my spot, what ultimately comes down is that the fact that it's about the right to trial by jury is for a fair trial for the criminally accused. So it's for a fair trial for the criminally accused because our system says that they would rather 10 guilty people walk free than one innocent man be criminalized. One innocent man be punished. So we have a system, the common law, which means everyone's rights are regarded and everyone's rights are safe. They're guaranteed. So whenever you have somebody who's adversarially publishing something that could discredit the defendant, what you're doing is tainting the jury pool in order to maliciously attack the due process where Donald Trump requires and is guaranteed an impartial jury. Now, of course, Donald Trump is a very famous man. So the very fact that there's a criminal trial against him, you're probably not going to be able to find an impartial jury that doesn't have some opinion formed on President Trump. He was the president. So you're really asking the jury to be impartial on something that they probably have a well-formed view on. Or at least they have a well-formed view on who he is. They know him. He's not just a random dude off the street. He's a, you know, this is a well-known person. And because this is the case, it's a balance. But notice that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is that the judge said Trump can't talk about the case. The judge, the impartial, independent trustee, is telling the defendant can't talk about it. You can't talk about it. Now, what this does, let me just slow this down. When someone is being criminally prosecuted, it is the interest of the state versus the interest of the, you know, of the accused. So the accused has rights, deserves an impartial jury. Now, what rights does the state have? See, the state has a high obligation, a high burden, because the state has to show that this person committed a crime. But because we have a common law system where constitutional rights are guaranteed, the state is at a handicap because the state is bringing powers against somebody. That's our law. That's our system. But whenever the judge, who's a trustee, sworn to the New York Constitution and the U.S. Constitution, says defendant Trump can't talk about his case, the judge is putting the thumb of his thumb on the scale of justice on the side of the state. I believe this is prejudice. I believe this is prejudice because it's swaying something to one side of the case without the conviction of justice. President Trump has not been convicted. No jury has tried any facts. But yet the judge is telling Trump he can't talk about it. This is President Trump right before I started. This is him. Another video will comment after.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar said this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, President Trump. I mean, I like President Trump. So my bias is for him. So whenever he says something, I'm generally going to be against it. Or I'm generally going to be for it because I like President Trump. I think he's wrong on abortion. I think he's wrong on vaccines. I think he's wrong on the COVID lockdowns. I think he's wrong on those things, big and substantive. But I have a big heart for President Trump because I believe that he walked right into the belly of the beast and he started speaking about stuff in ways that equipped Americans with perspective and awareness. So I'm always going to give President Trump a lot of grace. However, the law is the law. The law is the law. And in this case, he's speaking about how this is an assault on America. He's speaking about how this is a political persecution. I hold that opinion. I believe him and I agree with him. So I'm biased. Jaron is biased on this issue. That doesn't mean we can't slow it down and recognize what's happening. What's happening is a judge who is also biased, because everyone's got a bias. And now that judge's bias has been made known in the sense that the judge's daughter is an activist in financial relationships with people that Kamala Harris, the vice president, is involved with. So this is something where you've got to recognize that justice, you know, this side of heaven, we are going to be subject to evil and sin and deception and corruption and all sorts of bad stuff. So you may never get justice this side of heaven. Thank God he guarantees that everything will be made right. He says that all tears will be wiped away, that there will be no pain, there will be no sorrow, that everything will be right, which is why you need to obey the gospel. You need to obey the gospel because you are not guaranteed justice on this side of heaven, but you are guaranteed justice, you know, on the other side of this life. So we'll get to the gospel here in a second. But the important thing, and I want to direct your attention to humblewb.coffee, humblewb.coffee. Join humblewb.coffee. Get free coffee delivered right to your door when you join the membership of distributing Bibles around the nation. It's air-roasted coffee, delicious coffee. No additives, no preservatives, no flavorings, no nothing. It's pure, it's organic, air-roasted on a perfect cushion of air. That's humblewb.coffee delivered right to you. Humblewb.coffee. I'm having problems with the internet, so I'm going to have to upload this after, and that's fine. Let me just go ahead and stop streaming. We'll just upload the thing afterwards. And yeah, people are saying my stream's good. Yep. So what I want to do is I want to talk about this idea of sending notice and affidavit before the controversy. And this, you know, I don't control the future. I don't try to predict where things are. I do, however, look to the Bible whenever the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. When you send notice and or affidavit before the controversy, what you've done is you've declared your rights. You've declared what the law is. We study, we use precision, and we slow things down to say this is the issue before it's an issue. And I'll just be blunt, most of the times it's one of process. Most of the time the violation is one of process. In this case, who is the one saying that Trump did something? Michael Cohen. You know, what is Michael Cohen doing this because he's pleading out? Because he's trying to negotiate a deal? What is his motivation for doing this? But let's just take this out of Trump and recognize that most times whenever you are in a lawsuit, you're not actually being sued. Because most times, 99.9999% of times, no attorney has actually sworn under penalty of perjury. The plaintiffs who hire the attorneys haven't sworn under penalty of perjury. Which means that any court that gains jurisdiction over you, over your person and your private rights, is doing so with legislative powers. They can't do that. And those legislative powers are called the civil procedure. The legislature passes the civil procedure. The civil procedure allows for jurisdiction to be gained over people and their private rights without anybody being sworn under oath or affirmation. How does that work? How do I have the right to privacy in the Constitution, but yet the legislature can make provision for powers to gain jurisdiction over my rights, which bypasses constitutional safeguards? How does that work? This is why you send notice and affidavit beforehand. This is why we speak about what the truth is, because the truth stands. And it's scary. You know, it's scary that people are going to attack you and come at you. They'll say all sorts of big words and they'll try to manipulate. But President Trump speaking about there's an assault on America and the fact that America is dying. It's a nation in decline. I believe that one of the reasons why is that because people, and I've said this before, because people have a fear of government more than God. I think it is that simple. Now, that's difficult to put into action because people don't want to walk by faith. They want the assurance. They want the guarantee. And so they've ran and got and fetched for themselves people who will tell them and give them guarantees. Not guarantees that are guaranteed, but they will say, yes, we will actually do this and this will actually work. This entire cast of people telling the non-educated, oh yeah, this is what's going to happen and this is what's going to happen and this is how it's going to happen and all this is going to happen. This is to assure you. This is to lull you to sleep. This is to make you feel better. It's to encourage you. Folks, the Bible talks about don't put in your trust in chariots. Don't put in your trust in men. Don't put in your trust in swords. Don't put in your trust in armies. Trust in the Lord. The reason why this is important is that President Trump is getting destroyed. Now, a quick side note, because there's people that believe Q. There's people that believe that Trump is the president, commander-in-chief. There's people believe that literally everyone involved is an actor being manipulated because there's footage about them regarding acts with children, allegedly. I can't prove any of that. I hear it. I hear people talk about it. I certainly once gave it a lot of attention. But understand even that perspective that can't be proved, right? The Bible says to prove all things. All of this stuff is disconnected. It might be closely connected dots, but you have to put the faith between this dot and that dot to make them touch. You notice that that's what's happening. For example, I'm not a believer in Q, never have been a believer in Q. I do believe that Q was a direct and disciplined operation to, however you want to look at it, grow awareness or just deceive people into an action. I'm generally one who believes that it's deceiving people in an action because what it did was it gave them the illusion that things are fine. It gave them the illusion that because everything's planned out and well in hand, it took the people that were in fear of what was actually happening and who were aware of the bad things that were happening. And instead of moving them to action, they sat and they didn't do anything because everything's fine. And the result of this is people who are looking at Trump being criminally prosecuted going, yeah, everything's fine. I don't think that's a wise way to think about things. I think that is unwise. I think it's unwise primarily because, one, you can't prove it. You can't prove it. And ultimately, this goes into who controls the future. God controls the future. One thing I repent of constantly, and I have to apologize to Christ constantly for, is the fact that I try to scheme into the future. I try to war game. Okay, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this, and this, and this, and this. And before I know it, I've written my entire future without God's help, as though he's not in charge. Now, that's something I gotta repent for. That's something I ask for forgiveness of. That's something that I daily slow down and say that, no, God has given me this day. He has not guaranteed me the next. I could drop dead with a heart attack. I get crushed by a semi. I could, you know, get struck by lightning. I could have many of the people that want to do me harm slap me in the head, right? Like, there's all sorts of stuff that could happen. My point is, when people think that Trump's got everything figured out and they think that there's people tinkering behind the scenes and everything's in control, what that's doing, it's not having them obey what they should be doing, whether that's preaching the gospel where they are, whether that's serving locally with their neighbors, raising their family, educating them and directing them back to the scriptures, working with their hands to produce something in service to the Lord by helping and benefit other people, managing their money, making better decisions about where they shop, hint, hint, patriotswitch.com. Whatever it is, there are so many distractions based on these perceptions of power. And this is the idea that because Trump is being criminally prosecuted, people will look at that and say either A, everything's figured out, they're all actors and Trump's got this, so we don't have to worry about it. So they won't learn the law. They won't be praying for it. They won't be actively involved in giving that situation and that concern to God. Or B, they look at this and say, well, Trump's really screwed. I don't know what to do about it. And think about it. If they're criminally prosecuting Trump, don't you think that they can't do that to you? And so you should be looking at Trump as a canary in the coal mine going, if they're going after the most powerful person who went right at these people, what do you think that they're going to be doing to other people after him? They're going to be coming after Trump's people. Now, you would hear that, as I might normally hear that, and be like, oh no, I'm afraid. But this is where we need to stop. This is where we need to stop and recognize that the truth is the truth. The law is the law. The Constitution is the law. And when you recognize that there's a controversy, you send notice beforehand, certified mail, and create your own record of how you're telling people what your rights are. And when they come back against you, you've got the record to say, listen, I told you. What are you doing? And I believe, and it's my firm faith, that whenever you do this in peace, with love, not strife, I'm not strifing, I'm not raising things up in a fluster. When you do this in peace, what you're doing is you're creating the opportunity for you to say, listen, I told you what the issue was. You ignored it. You can't do that. And then when you get in front of a jury, you tell them, listen, folks, I was telling this person they're not going by what the law says. I told them multiple times. Why wouldn't they do this? Now it makes the people look like, now it makes whoever is attacking you look as though they don't care about what the law says. And this is where ultimately there is the faith of the prudence and the wisdom of the common law system, that the trial by jury is of your peers and is impartial. And you can say, listen, folks, here's what they all swore to. I told them ahead of time and they didn't do it. Because what that registers, Lord willing, how that registers on the jury is, oh shoot, I could be in the same position. And if this person, whom I'm determining if their liberty interests should be diminished in jail or with punitive measures, if this person took the opportunity before the controversy to tell people what the issue was, they swore to it, they showed them what the law was, and no one cared about it, and now they're attacking them? Boy. I don't want to be part of this. I don't want that to happen to me. And this is where the wisdom of God is, that he moves men's hearts. The Bible says that God holds the hearts of kings in his hand. He directs them as a river. And if God holds man's hearts in his hands, if God holds the future, then why would you not today stand on what's true before there's a controversy? Do it in love so you're not using a grievous word to stir up wrath. Use a soft word. Hey, this is sent to you in the peace and love of Jesus Christ before there's an issue. And that way I'm telling you what the truth is. And then God, who directs your path, who controls the future, and who holds the hearts of other men in his hands, will be able to do stuff, and he can create a situation, he can give a deliverance, he can give a victory where he gets all the glory. And everybody involved will be like, what just happened? I pray for President Trump. I think his instincts are great. His political instincts are awesome. He's done a lot of good for the nation. I'm biased, of course. I think that he is an immoral man on a personal level, because of his support of debauchery and lewd and homosexuality, his evasion on womb murder. These are non-negotiables for me. And while I love Trump and I support him and I want to get him elected, I'm not going to budge on issues that are so bright-lined, like that God is so bright-lined on. The Bible is very clear on these issues. So when Trump is wrong on what the Bible says, I completely separate from him. At the same time, because I know what the Constitution is, and I know that people have all the political power, and that our rights are out of government, I can look at Trump and say that that man's just trying to be a servant. And his servant's heart is such that he would take javelins and missiles and bullets for this nation. He would put himself in a position to take the pain to change the way that things are. That is a heart of a servant, a flawed, immoral servant. This is where I believe Christians need to have grace and recognize, what is this man's fruit? The fruit is he left his plush life to come to the position to tell people what the truth was, to disrupt a bunch of systems of oppression and greed, graft, corruption, and otherwise subterfuge. He did this. Now they're destroying him. Now they're criminally prosecuting him. Now they're going after his family, his legacy, his business. They're going after everything. And I think it's obvious for people to see. That's my prayer. Folks, the most important thing that I do is I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was killed on a Roman cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Now, what I think is, so powerful, my father-in-law was telling me this the other day, is when you go, Christians partake in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is you eat unleavened bread and you break it such that it shows the breaking of his body, right? The piercing of his skin, the piercing of his body. And then you drink the fruit of the vine, which is to represent his blood, the blood of the covenant. That means that the covenant, the compact between God and the people that are in Christ, right? The compact, that compact was sealed with Christ's blood. So when we partake of the Lord's supper, we are remembering what Jesus did. Now, of course, I was not there when Jesus was killed on the cross. I was not there when Jesus was buried. I was not there when Jesus rose from the grave. I was not there. Neither were you. Nobody ever listening to me for the whole history of the future, for the whole future of the world, will not have ever remembered what Jesus did. We have to remember based on what the Bible says. And the Bible says it happened in all four gospel accounts. The Bible says that Jesus did it for the remission of our sins, that his blood was shed so that we could have an atoning sacrifice, so that God would pour his wrath out on Jesus instead of on us. That's what Jesus did when he took the cross. He did it out of obedience and love of the Father and in service to everybody else, because Christ came on earth to minister. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. So as a servant, Jesus gave his life. He gave his life to be that sacrifice so that we would not have to take the punishment, God's punishment for our sin. Now, this is something I don't deserve. Something you don't deserve. But the gospel is good news. And him physically raising from the grave proves he's God, proves he's got the power of life over death. It proves that everything he said was true, and it proves that the people that he sent, he commissioned after, they spoke on his behalf. So whenever the Bible is full of a bunch of epistles, letters, that his followers, that he said, I choose you to go write stuff, when those letters tell us what to do, you obey them. You absolutely obey them. There was someone messaged me just prior to this live stream. I posted, read the Bible and tune out everything else. And this anonymous Twitter account, as they most happen to be, said that, well, you can't just read the Bible and not do anything. You're a monk. Now, what that anonymous account did was took what I said, read the Bible and tune everything else out. They took that and they interpreted that with their own bias to suggest that that is me as a monk in a cave not doing anything. Friends, you can't read the Bible. You can't believe the Bible and not do what it says. You can't read the Bible and see the person of Christ, see the man of Christ. You can't see that, believe that he took the cross, that he was killed, that he was buried, and that he rose from the grave. You can't read that and not be moved to action. You can't read that and not obey it unless you don't believe it. And if you don't believe, you won't obey. When people believe the gospel, they obey the gospel. Christ made provision for us to be in him, for us to be in his body, for us to be in his church, the one church, the church of Christ, Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. The church belongs to Christ. How do you get in the church? How do you get in Christ? How do you do that? It begins by hearing the word of God. You have to hear what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4. Let me read that for you really fast. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. Paul says here, how that by revelation he made known to me, God made known to Paul, the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Christ is so smart and powerful and awesome that he chose to tell Paul what he wanted to say. That Christ chose to tell his apostles who wrote the Bible what to say. So when his apostles say what Christ says, this is Jesus talking. This is the king talking. The king talks the way the king talks. The king doesn't talk like Jaron. The king doesn't talk like you. The king doesn't talk like your favorite pastor. The king talks like the king. And so whenever the king presents his word, reveals his word to the people he chooses, and they write it down, and it's in his book, that's the king talking to you, the way that he chose to talk to you. You either believe that or you don't. So the very first thing is that you hear the word of God. When the Bible says that the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, let's read there real fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, when it says, "Moreover, brethren, I, Paul, declare unto you the gospel, which I, Paul, preached unto you." So he's already told them what it was. "Which also ye have received." You receive the gospel. "And wherein you stand on the gospel, by which you are saved." You are saved by the gospel. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you," which means you, if you don't keep what the gospel preaches, if you don't believe what the gospel preaches, if you don't keep it, "unless ye have believed in vain," which means that there's a such thing as believing as though it's vacuous, it's gaseous, it's not a real thing. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received." So Paul received the gospel, and then he gave the gospel. Notice that's what you should be doing, Christians. If you have received the gospel, you should be giving the gospel. Amen. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day according to the scriptures." And then it goes on the next couple of verses saying that he was seen by Cephas and then the 12 and then all these other witnesses. There's eyewitness testimony that Jesus Christ physically raised from the grave. That is the proof that the gospel saves. That is the proof that the gospel is true. And because the gospel is true, you obey it. You obey it. You hear the word. You believe the word. Now, whenever you believe the gospel, what do? You call upon the word. You call upon the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 2 talks about that. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter is talking about. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter is quoting Joel chapter 2. It says here, quote, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Peter's talking on Pentecost, the day the church of Christ starts, to these Jews from all over the world. These Jews are listening to him. Peter's talking about the prophet Joel. Joel says there's going to be a day when people prophesy and they speak in tongues. On that day, when that happens, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Peter's quoting it right here. He's quoting it right here. And then he says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, "Now when they," the Jews, "when they were pricked in the," when they heard this, "they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" So they're pricked in the heart, which means they believe. They believed what Peter was saying. They believed what Peter was saying. Okay. Then Peter, the inspired apostle, as written by Luke in the book of Acts, who was also inspired, said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So there's a future implication. This is the promise to everybody, to you guys, to your children, to those that are far off, and everybody in the future that's going to be called by the same message. "And with many other words did he exhort and testify, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." Do what the gospel says. Obey the gospel and save yourselves. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, Acts 2:47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The Lord adds to his church. How does the Lord add to his church? He says, "You shall be saved by those who call upon the Lord," which means you have to hear the word, you've got to believe the word, and you've got to repent to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Folks, the gospel saves. Obey the gospel, my friends. Folks, the best way that you can help me is to go to patriotswitch.com/Jaron. Patriotswitch.com/Jaron. This is a blessing, not only to me, but to you, insofar as you get the better quality American products delivered right to your door. Direct product purchase online. If what I do is valuable, if what I do gives benefit, if what I do illuminates, informs, educates, inspires, or maybe just entertains, a way to say thank you is to shop at patriotswitch.com. Shopping at patriotswitch.com. Whenever you sign up, someone like myself or with me will call you and say, here's what's going on. We'll explain it to you. If it's not for you, leave anytime. No hassles, no fees. It's not for you, that's fine. Try it. If it's a blessing, God bless you. Tell other people about it. Share the content. Until next time, my name is Jaron Jackson, and I do love America. I do love America. We got a big fight. Don't quit. Go to war.